very warm welcome for all of you to this class. And the name of the course, you are aware of, it's Corporate Communication and Crisis Communication too. And my name is Marita Vos. I'm a professor in corporate communication here at the business school. And I'm very pleased to see some familiar faces and also a lot of new faces in this class. The last number that you heard was of Peter Gabriel, Please Talk to Me. And I hope that you will also do that in this particular class. Which is why I also invited a colleague of me, Jenny Huvarinen. And Jenny works for the communication department, but also is one of our doctoral researchers. And she will also help in the interaction in class. And then there is a third person involved, Aino Ruggiero, who unfortunately sprained her ankle, but will be here next time. We hope she's fine because she's pregnant, and then it is not so nice to have also a sprained ankle. Okay, so a warm welcome for you. And as so many of you don't know me yet, my career started in the Netherlands, where I was a communications manager for two very large organizations. And I also had, after that, my own consultancy together with my husband. I still have that, and I will probably let those activities increase in the near future, because this will be for Juvascula. Probably, you never know what you do as a professor emerita, but it will probably be my last series of lectures, which is all the more reason to pay extra attention to it and to make sure that it will be a lovely experience to all of us here. Okay, so how could you then benefit from my experience, also my experience as a professor? Because in the last 11 years that I worked for this university, I focused on crisis communication. And crisis communication related, for me, a lot to humanitarian aid. Well, you have seen on the television a lot of news about recent hurricanes. And so that relates to humanitarian aid. And communication is very important for collaboration, but also for collaborations with citizens and informing citizens so that they can do the utmost to protect themselves and their families. Of course, after we managed to get our group of researchers to the business school, because that was, as we thought, the most important place to be, considering all the other disciplines that are needed to get a good place in practice, and also where this discipline can mean most to people who study at the business school. So after we had succeeded in doing that, I somehow went back to connect with my earliest interest, which was in reputation and reputation problems. So from reputation problems, in a way, to humanitarian aid crises, and now back to organizational crises. And organizational crisis also meaning, in a more positive sense, organizational resilience. So ensuring that organizations are well prepared for crisis and maybe can also avoid a lot of crises in that way. So let's take a look at the program of this course. And you will see that the course aims at giving you an understanding of the main concepts, of course, involved. You will better understand the contents of the course and how to start using a mind map. So that is for today. The course as such, of course, has a broader part, but that is part of what we do today, to tell you what the rest of the course is about. So the core concepts and the examples, you'll get some first insights into the approach and what a gap analysis is, because for the assignment, I will ask you to do a gap analysis. There is no exam for this course, but there is, I hope, a rather exciting and challenging assignment. Image formation we will address today. So how do people form an image of organizations? And you'll begin to look for a team for this course, and you will inform the team and who are in it via the Optima space for this workspace. I sent most of you a reminder of this program where I introduced also the Optima space. Now my status bar has gone. Show the taskbar. Okay, it's possible to go up. Yeah, because I would like to, just for a moment, take you to that. And who has already seen that Optima workspace? Because I asked you to take a look at it. Okay, so I'll not dwell too long on it, as you most of you have seen it. So, but the most important thing to note here, and that is the student guide. So the student guide explains everything about the assignment, the deadlines are there. And basically, this is a very condensed course that has to do with the fact that I'm currently doing this from my new house in the Netherlands already. So I flew in, especially for this course. And so I condensed the course in a two-week period. And after that period has been, you will still have plenty of time to finalize the assignment, because I cannot expect you to do that within the course period. And you can always email me with questions. No problem there. Don't hesitate if you have such questions. But first, take a look, of course. And you will find the slides of the course here. And there is a new book, and I will introduce that new book in the last meeting of this series. Let's call it four different seminars, actually, because it's quite long meetings, which is why we will do it like this. There will be a double lecture, and then there will be a longer break. And I've actually put an alarm clock to ensure that we will have that break at the time that the restaurant Piatto is still able to take your orders if you want to have some warm meal or something. So I think it's 16:40 that my alarm clock goes. Don't be frightened. It's just a reminder. And we will have half an hour then, I think 5 minutes more. And then we will restart for another session of two lectures. And that's also why I think it's a long time still per part of the seminar. So we will have some questions for you to discuss with your neighbor. And that technique is called buzzing, because there will be a lot of buzz then coming from this room, and you can feel free to just talk as loud normally as you would like to do. So we will use the buzzing technique, and then afterwards we will collect some of your ideas. So the new book, Communication in Turbulent Times, is not available as a printed book, but that one is the digital book version that you can download here from the Optima workspace. And that's really, really novel content. So I hope that also in our last meeting it will be opened up for other people of the business school, that there will be some people coming just to hear about this new content. Well, then the other book, you have already, so you don't need to download it. And then here there is a space where I hope that before the next meeting you will be able to tell the names in your group. Or if you only have two of the four, fine, just put those two of the four already here so that we know about that. The dream number is four, but it could be four or five. There's a question in the back. Could I ask you to find such solutions also in the break, perhaps? Because we will have a break probably all together, because many people will go to restaurant Piatta. Well, this was fine, but I was just afraid that there were people from Oulu or from Vaasa, and then we would do the whole the whole stuff. But so, you know how who to walk to in the next break. But it's a very good idea. So, and here you can, by that time, post your work. And you will read in the student guide that one of the things you will do is give your preliminary results already in a blog post. And that blog post, the deadline for that is the 16th of October, but 30 October is the final stuff, so that you can still get reactions from other teams in between 16 October. And I will also, of course, look through your blog posts. And for that reason, because it's a blogger blog, I need to have one email address for each group so that I can give that person access to that space. All the others can place comments, but to place the blog post of your team, I need one email address, and that person will get clearance for that then. It's a Google-based, so if you have a Google account, that is useful. Okay, can I close this part? The Optima, no problem there. Okay, then I will.
How many are we in one?
Could maybe somebody else give the answer already? Well, I'm trying to find my cursor because the cursor is all the time taking a break. And there is also not an easy pad for this. I can always ask Jenny. Jenny, you're a magical person. I lost the cursor earlier because it is a Google Chrome that I use. That could be the reason. I don't know. I just need to take that out. But somehow the cursor is... Yeah, it's... Oh, yeah, you found it. It was just gone to the Netherlands. But it's back. Not me, though. Aha, this is already that question. The course content. Actually, I wanted to tell a little bit of the course content earlier. Yes. So about the course content. So we will talk about reputation and image. So what is the similarity? What's the difference? I define it in the same way, but there are some other authors that make a difference there. And I will explain that also further in the next seminar meeting, next Thursday, when we talk about measuring. Because actually the definitions are pretty similar. It's just that over time, people have tried to make a difference between the two. And actually the only meaningful difference is how it is measured. And so reputation is often measured by large standardized surveys. And I talk more about image because that reflects also emotions and impressions, not just opinions. And I think that to understand your target groups, you need to know not just their opinions, but also their associations, their feelings. And that's why I go back to the word corporate image. And the image is in that sense more focused on these emotional elements, which also means that it's an open source measurement, whereas the other one is patented. But this is open source, and I made it open source so that you can customize it for every different organization. So you will learn in this course the four big elements that are important to measure, and also that are important when you're thinking about this organization and about perceptions of people of this organization. Basically, the definition is perceptions of people about that organization. And perceptions are very important because they form a basis for any communicative interactions and actually also for other actions like buying shares or buying products. So we'll talk about that today and next Thursday, this is the second seminar. And the second seminar mainly is about what do people think, so these four elements in measuring. And then the third seminar next week will be about crisis communication and reputation strategies. And the last one is about organizational resilience. It brings you a bit broader picture of an organization that functions in turmoil, a really turbulent environment, and how can you anticipate on that turbulence, and how can you also see a little bit broader picture of communication there? So communication should help the organization. Your perspective should become as if you're looking through the glasses of the communication discipline. And of course, especially if that is your main, if that is your major, but also if it is your minor, it's very important any manager should have this ability to switch on different glasses, to look at corporate matters from a marketing perspective, from a communication perspective, from a production perspective, from a financial perspective. So managers should be able to quickly switch those pairs of glasses. And actually, those are all functional areas, and these different functional areas together make it possible to do any management of an organization. Even though I might later on say some things like, is managing really possible nowadays with all that turbulence? But that's mainly for the fourth class. So now I would like to ask you a question, because that could clarify a lot. So do you know of organizations, so which organizations are you thinking of with issues or with crises that are discussed in public? Because an issue is a disputed matter, and it could become a crisis, but it might not yet be a total crisis. But it's something that people have concerns about. And those people could be different kind of stakeholders. So they have concerns about your organization. So which organizations are you thinking about? And then already also the question, is there one that you would like to take a closer look at? And it's okay that different groups take the same topic, because I know you will always do it in different ways, which is what makes it very interesting. So please talk with your neighbor about this question and come up with some examples so that I know and you know from each other which organizations could you think about for this. So go ahead and buzz. This is buzzing.
Okay. Did you come up with good ideas and good organizations? Should we start the discussion together? I thought this group here had some vivid conversation. Which company did you think of?
Is it Terrafame that has Talvivaara? And then Finlayson.
And what was interesting about those two companies?
So Terrafame has the Talvivaara accident from a few years back, and Finlayson had some
positive campaigns, also. For example, the bed seats with the design of Tom Finland in the spring, promoting gay rights. But some people were really super furious and said that they won't use their products anymore. And several other campaigns that they have had also. So kind of positive and negative crises.
Any other groups? This group back here, what was your organization?
Greenpeace or WWF. Something like this, because they have a great image and we don't talk about all the things around this.
Can you mention some issues or crisis sort of things that you came up or remembered?
Please use the mic.
Sorry, I didn't really belong to this group, but I was just helping them out and saying that that I think Greenpeace was connected with the or starting the fuss about the oil spill that Shell had. But you know, just bringing it out here.
Sorry, guys.
Thank you.
They lost a lot of members then.
Yeah, that's true. Who else wants to share your ideas? Don't be scared. You'll learn more when you share your ideas with the others. What about back here? What was your company?
We thought about Coca-Cola, as they just had the recent scandal that they've been pumping wells dry in Mexico. And then the Finnish private hospital, Terveystalo, which has had a larger tax evasion scandal. Or you can't really call it a scandal, but it's forming into one.
Thanks. Anyone else? Also here?
We have Nokia selling the product of mobile phones to Microsoft, and many people lost their jobs.
That's a good example. There's one more group down here. I'm trying to do my best.
Well, we discussed about the United Airlines and when they were dragging out the guy. So that was a huge...
Yeah. Oh. And it's not the first time they are... That sort of headlines. Maybe we continue already? Or... Oh, more groups.
I think it's an ongoing issue with Uber. They have a lot of sexual harassment cases going on every now and then. And also with their whether they can operate legally in a few countries, because they don't really have the license to operate. They don't go through the whole procedure of registration.
So two really different kind of crisis situations, yeah?
Great ideas. If you would like to know what people did in previous years, there was some similarities, especially Uber was chosen, for example, and Talvivaara. Also, Volkswagen was thought of in earlier years. It's a possibility for you. It changes all of the time. Red Bull, Nestle, Marimekko, Findus, McDonald's. Well, you had a better idea for an airline company, but Germanwings was chosen in the past after a crash, and Malaysia Airlines has been used. If I would choose one topic now that is the most fresh crisis, it's, I think, some topic that you cannot interview because it's not yet out fully. And that would be Equifax. Did anybody hear of Equifax? Because it's considered a bigger scandal than the Enron scandal, which means something, at least if you're in finance. I'll tell you why, and then it will become clear why it's a financial disaster. They had a massive cyber break. This is an American case, so not so suitable for you, but I wanted to tell you anyhow, because this is the kind of things that can happen today. Because nowadays, the threats for companies are different. There are new threats. And those threats have to do with large groups of people, so you will have to communicate, and communication is very important there. So Equifax had a massive cyber break, and it happened on the 15th, just a few days ago, that they found out about it. But before notifying the authorities, the board members already sold a lot of shares. Now you understand the connection, maybe if you heard about the Enron case, if not, Google Enron. These are really millions and millions of people that the data were stolen from, meaning credit card numbers together with driver's license information, etc. So it enables, especially in the States, it's luckily a little bit more difficult in Finland to open financial accounts. But there, with such information, you can open financial accounts, you can get credit cards, and you can start a new life and a fake identity. And actually, there was also in the news on Bloomberg a story of somebody who had lost his identity, not yet because of this major theft of identity data, but an earlier case. And he explained on Bloomberg television, and it's also, I think, now starting to spread, that it took him 3 years to get rid of a lot of accounts that were fakely his, and that caused a lot of trouble when also traveling in and out the United States, because he was somehow mentioned as a criminal, but the person that stole his identity also used that identity to break laws in that sense. I was reminded of an old movie of Sandra Bullock. Okay, I'm not getting that old that I don't get a nod for that. So, but it's real, it's real. Doesn't go with floppies anymore, but it happens. But of course, this company, Equifax, needs to communicate. And it also involves a lot of banks, actually, because this guy had a problem with the Bank of America, because he tried to explain to the Bank of America that his identity had been stolen. And there was a lady listening on the phone, an employee of the Bank of America, and she was the first one that finally had some interest for this. Oh, yes, and dear, and do tell me. But then the last line that she said was, thank you for being a client of the Bank of America. A kind of standard sentence that clarified for him immediately that this person had not been listening at all. So he got zero help, and only when he went to the authorities he got some help. But all the time they're popping up new accounts. So you can imagine that in the wake of one reputation scandal like this for Equifax, there could be connected scandals coming for the banks that are involved in such scams. And so you always have to remember that a crisis can be the result of a reputation problem that they had before, or a related thing, maybe something in the same industry, but not your organization, not your company. But still, it could have major effects. So you need to do a lot of monitoring as an organization to make sure that you know what people are worried about. And so that is why reputation is very important here. Let's take a look at another example from some time ago already, but one of the airline companies that had major problems and, of course, also lost financially a lot there, but there were two aircrafts that were lost. You remember the case still. That's a more recent case, so luckily that's quite clear. Or it's an older one than the case I just told you about. So there was one lost airplane, and it took very, very long until people had to accept that there was no news about it, so that they should say goodbye to their family lost, but there was no proof, there was no body. So, and that, of course, showed that the airline had a very old-fashioned way of dealing with its customers. We investigated the case, doctoral students and me together did that, and we found out that they hardly replied to, for example, Facebook posts on their own Facebook platform. So they left it to other users of their Facebook platform to reply to each other. But there was no active intervention of the company itself. And at the moment, that Facebook platform also has closed, because it showed perfectly that they were not alert enough. And there's only few companies, but luckily nowadays a lot of airline companies, that do a much better job online on social media platforms. The other airplane crash was even more difficult to accept for a family of victims, because that was the plane that was shot down above the Ukraine. And I just read today in the news that NATO is again talking about new facts about that plane that was shot down above the Ukraine. So those investigations, but also the political consequences of that, are still ongoing. That was a major communication case also, where, for example, the government of the country that I'm from, in the Netherlands, there were a lot of Dutch people on board. I hope nobody here is personally affected by it, or family, but everybody almost knows somebody who was there. And so there was a major communication effort of the authorities to keep people posted about what they knew and about the investigations. But that also became an international political matter. So actually, reputation problems are very interesting, although they are not always so easy. But that's why I think you're here. That's why you're trying to use your set of brains to clarify such matters. So the concepts used are the concepts of corporate image, which goes back to publications of Dowling and also of myself. It focuses on associations. It focuses on issues and emotions, whereas the reputation concept that was used later, was taken into use later, but got used a lot in those times. But I think now we see kind of coming back to the image concept again in science. The reputation concept focused on organizations and return on investment. So what is the positive effect of a good reputation for a company? People try to prove that ROI, and but I think it now lacks these emotional elements, which are so important on the web. So some people later try to tell that these concepts are different and that one maybe encompasses the other. It has been said this way and the other way, that image is part of reputation or reputation is part of image. I say reputation, if you focus only on opinions, how it is measured, it would be part of this broader view on image. But the other way around is also said, that when you focus image a lot on the emotional side, that then reputation should be broader. Well, I would conclude that the definitions are actually the same. It's both about perceptions of publics, but that the way in which it has been measured by people known in the scholarly world, that way is different, and I will explain you about that in the next class. So, Let's go to the relevance for organizations. Organizations function, of course, in a social context, more so today even than longer ago. This context has been characterized by interdependencies. That's a resource-based view that I'm now using. So I'm thinking about different stakeholder groups like customers, shareholders, employees. And actually what you should immediately note is that the differences, the diversity of views, is what makes this topic interesting at all. Because any average, especially when you look at the web, any average of a mass of people is not interesting. It's too big. It's too general. So what we need to do is we need to compare different groups, and then what we get is a real understanding. We try to understand why this stakeholder group thinks this, while for another stakeholder group something else is more important. And then you will have gained insights that will be very valuable for you later. So we talk more about dynamically networked individuals and groups. And if you know or if you can understand these stakeholder views better, that affects, of course, the communication policy, but also the general policy of the company. I have experienced myself that when I had done image research measurements, that I was suddenly much more welcome to the top board meetings, because I could tell them something. I had nice facts and figures that they were interested in, and they wanted to understand these matters, and they wanted to discuss them. So very often communication people say that they might have some trouble getting on the higher levels recognition. That's true, I think, for anybody new in any new career. So it is good to have some data that make you welcome in such levels. So what is important to do for you, and I will also require you to do that for the assignment, is to make a field of forces. So to draw that, you can draw that by a pen, you can do that also in, of course, software. But the idea of this field of forces model is, well, just think about the name, field of forces, field of forces. It already tells you that we have gotten rid of this naive view of stakeholder relations, that we want something like goodwill. That's a very old way to put it. Well, goodwill is nice if you can get it. But we're talking about a field of forces where for a company it is actually quite difficult to please every stakeholder group, because the interests of one stakeholder group, for example, the shareholders, may be very difficult and very different than the stakeholder group employees. Well, if you can talk long term, actually these interests do have a lot of overlap, but it takes a lot of convincing by the board to, for example, DSM is a company that that is fierce to be taken over by a takeover group that really wants to milk it. And it has a relatively good name for corporate responsibility. So it tries to defend itself against that takeover. Now I'm so getting so enthusiastic about DSM, but anyhow, you see there are conflicting interests. That's the point where I was going to. So what I want you to do is when you talk about your topic, after you have chosen your topic, really chosen it, yeah? Then you start to think, which are the stakeholder groups that I need to look at to understand maybe also how people talk about this company in the media? So which are the most important stakeholder groups? But that is not enough. I think that is pretty old-fashioned to only do that. You should look at the wider ring of development. So what kind of changes are now going on that make this really interesting? So why for an airline company? It's so competitive nowadays. So for that airline company, the whole story gets different because the developments are very different. So I want you to connect the developments to the stakeholder groups. And maybe you can just think that because of these developments, some stakeholder groups now are more important than others. So for stakeholders, it's important to think, how are they related to the organization? What kind of involvement is there? What kind of knowledge is there? Developments, so what kind of changes are going on and how important are these for the stakeholder groups? So to help you do that, we will first give you this example and then you can use the same technique for your topic. So my question is to again do some buzzing, some serious buzzing, and to draw the field of forces for McDonald's as I think a quick example. So within a couple of minutes, we will ask you for your results. Stakeholders and developments both. Please start.
I think I already see some really nice looking fields of forces here. Do you still need some more time or Should we start already? How do you feel about it? Whose field is ready already? No one's? Okay, you can. Yeah. I think here, over here we have a wonderful field of forces. Can you tell me about it?
Well, we were thinking about the important stakeholders for McDonald's, so probably the consumers, the competitors, the media would be something.
What else? You can.
What, garment and regulations?
Great. Another group over here.
The producers and the employees and the owners.
Okay. What about the developments? Was it easy to kind of grasp the idea of the developments? One, I discussed with one of the groups that what that actually meant. So did you get the idea? So kind of changes in the environment and things like that. So do you have examples of that? Anyone?
So I think the environment has changed a lot. Like, people are shifting towards healthy food. So there's this trend, and now these companies like McDonald's or Burger King have to market their food differently. They have to add and project their ingredients as healthy.
That was an excellent example. Any other ideas? Go ahead.
Well, this is a little bit similar to the previous one, but as consumers, like, attitudes are changing, like you said. So also, for example, in their products, they're trying to emphasize that, if, let's say, it used to be more that, yeah, people go to McDonald's, they don't care what's inside, like the burger and stuff, but now they're trying to be more like, yeah, like their steaks are 100% beef and, like, a little bit more transparent with, like, from where their products come from.
Yeah. One more.
Thanks. I would like to add changes in laws. So, for example, employment laws or laws related to food supplies. Then changes in prices of what they buy. And then also, like, differences in pace of society, I wrote. So when how we live changes, that changes who buys from them. And I would also like to add new competitors that are entering the market.
You got it right. Anyone else wants to add something to it? I guess not. Mm-hmm.
So we view at the moment an organization no longer as the center of a group of stakeholders, because we feel that is a much too egocentric way to look at your own company, to place it in the center of matters. So actually these pictures, these fields of forces, are not dynamic enough because they don't show the change well enough. It's static. And also, actually, we should draw them like this, but it becomes a very difficult picture. And I can always say that any figure is a simplification of reality, as long as we know that it is really a simplification. Because for communications, it matters a lot. If you place the organization in a multi-actor network or in the center of something where you have bilateral relations. So all that talk about relationships kind of suggests that an organization has a one-to-one relationship with customers and another with, for example, financial relations. But actually, what it is that the organization is not central at all. People talk about what they want to eat and if they want to meet people at McDonald's or somewhere else. So the issue actually is in the center and not the organization. So for people, the issue matters, and sometimes for that issue, you almost clash onto an organization and then okay. Yeah? But normally, the issue is paramount important, and the organization is not so important. And what we see as communication is not this relationship that we as a company have with these stakeholder groups. No, it's stakeholders that talk among each other on the web, for example. And it's pretty difficult to get somewhere in there and really be part of that conversation. And that's what nowadays, of course, the discipline much focuses on, to get into these talks, to be part of these talks that people have and that they don't go over your head in a way. That means that we have to be really alert and also really interested in how people view matters. So issues are central. And people associate organizations with successes, but also, and primarily maybe, with issues, problems, and former crises. It's not just the traditional news media that primarily mention problems, but also on the web you can see that, well, there are some places for fans, and we should really treasure those. And in some cases, it's hardly the company anymore that owns the brand, but it's somehow others that started to own the brand, and you again, as I said, have to be very active to be still part of that discussion. So it's issues, and it is also former crisis that you have to pay for a very, very long time. So if you could react faster, even avoid a crisis, if you see it coming, it doesn't continue that long, and you don't have to pay for that forever. Of course, it stays always on the web. Nothing gets lost these days. But it's not so deep and not so problematic if you can react earlier. So what is an issue? And one of our well-known authors, Coombs, Tim, he always says, a problem becomes an issue, a personal problem becomes an issue, so an issue is something collective, when it moves from a private concern to a publicly discussed concern. So issues are disputed matters, they could be even societal problems, concerns of people. Issues are discussed and they spread in the media. They can form a reputation threat or an opportunity also for organizations. So it can also have a very positive view. And I actually think, and I'm not the only scholar who thinks so, that crises also, in a way, are the beginning of something new. If a company had trouble learning and it gets into a crisis, suddenly, as a communication expert, I found out that I suddenly can talk about these matters because it has been, unfortunately, a crisis. But now people are willing to learn and to do something about it. So organizational renewal sometimes needs a bit of a clash, which is why not all clashes are considered evil. A next question for you. Marimekko, will Finnish brand once bought a fur company? And this caused a lot of consternation among its loyal, because there's many loyal customers that have been customer of Marimekko for years and years. Of course, they have to pay more attention to it nowadays to also get the new generations in among these customer groups. The result was that Marimekko actually apologized and within weeks sold on, got rid of this. It cannot have been a profitable adventure in this case. So it paid in that sense. It paid with reputation loss. It paid with financial loss. It was not published how much. But and now my question about that is, can you understand why this problem was typical for Marimekko and why it had a bigger chance on getting such a problem? So if you would have been working for them at that moment, in, for example, the communication department or another department that closely relates to that, you could almost have told them that for them it was more important than for some other. There is no average, but anyhow, some other company. So think about why this was important for Marie Mecca and why they then at least corrected it quickly. And that brings me to the more general question. Can you explain how do crises actually affect organizational reputation? What's in between? So how do you see that personally? Yeah? You can zoom again or buzz again.
Should we continue already? I think it's okay. Yeah. It turned out that the Marimekko case was not so familiar with all of you. So is there a group that knows the case and wants to share your ideas about it? Come on. Somebody might know it. Here in the front.
I don't know Marimekko that well, but I mean, their main marketing campaign would be like their sustainable company. And them buying a fur company is like very against that thing. And it violated the consumer's belief. And they're a very limited number of people, so they didn't want to lose them. So that's what I think. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you got it right. Any other ideas on the Marimekko case? What was going on there? In the middle? Could you please pass it?
We were thinking about the strategy that the company has, and also the values that what kind of message it sends to the stakeholders, and also like customers and everybody who cares about the company, that if they make such a big mistake in thinking about what companies they should buy or this kind of big thing, like how well can you trust this company in the future if they make this kind of mistakes?
Yeah, we were discussing that there might be people who own the shares, they sell the shares, so the valuation of the company lowers, and also that the employees have mistrust for the company. They start to wonder what is the real strategy of the company, and also that, like it was said already, that the loss of potential new customers and the loyal ones.
Yeah, I actually just wanted to ask for the year when this case was, because I found a code of conduct or like the framework, what kind of materials Marimekko uses from 2014, and they say they don't use any fur in their own products. So, yeah, I don't know about the background or when did this case happen or were they planning to use them in their own products or... to have it just...
It was before 2014, so that must have led to that statement that you have read online. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Other ideas? Okay, I'll pass it on here.
Well, overall, we were thinking that the image and history that Marimekko has is that they design clothes for everyone, and fur is like the image of having fur clothes is luxury, like towards luxury. And when we think about Marimekko and its like most well-known designs, they are made like with the idea of clothes to everyone. So. In like it doesn't suit at all, even if we're not thinking about environmental issues here.
Thank you. What about the broader scale in general? How do crises affect on organizational reputation? Any thoughts on that? In the back?
It made harm to the reputation of Marimekko.
Yeah. And if we now move on
but
from...
But how does that harm the organization then, if it harms their reputation?
They lose clients.
Is that all?
No. There are a lot of hands up. Just a moment.
Wrong answer.
So a brand is perceived as an identity, and once the identity is lost of what they stand for, it demolishes the whole brand value. And, you know, a person wearing a Marimekko clothing stands for something. And when that's lost, they don't identify themselves with Marimekko. And that'll, again, you know, that'll make you lose clientele and, you know, your company's value.
You had an idea here?
Well, I was just thinking very shortly, it basically takes away their credibility. It's when you've been already building this sort of reputation, no matter which company it is, and then suddenly you take a complete turnaround. So, of course, you're not credible in the eyes of the media or the customers or any stakeholders.
You could even say that's loss of investment. You have invested so long in it.
Yeah. How do you see it? Can crisis ever have a positive effect on their reputation?
I would say, of course, if you handle it correctly, if you're leading towards a change. Example, Marimekko obviously went with the, you know, no fur at all, ecological, whatsoever type of a statement in this case. So I guess everyone's now relating Marimekko to be ecological and so on. Mm-hmm. So I guess they handle it well.
Thank you. Some more ideas over there? Let's pass on the mic.
I would have to disagree on that one because we checked the dates, and if this declaration is from 2014 and this crisis was 2000, it's a bit long to recover from that crisis.
Well, you could even say that they then for so many years kept that in their statements. They must have really have had a fright about it. Yeah. Well, anyhow, it's a long distance. Yeah.
I think there are more comments over there.
Okay.
You guys keep me busy. I don't need to go to the body balance class after
That's
this.
That's why our pregnant colleague is not doing this running job.
I would just like to add that sometimes a company can capitalize on national crisis as well. So when there was a lot of debate going on gay rights in the U.S., Ben & Jerry's actually held campaigns in favor of gay rights, and they actually gained new customers, and also their current customers, the loyalty of the whole customer base basically increases when you stand up for some issues. So it's a national crisis, but you can actually end up capitalizing.
Thank you for pointing out that. I think we can continue now, unless there are some.
It's very different than the about 150 speeches that I did for People in Practice. Back in the Netherlands, I did them mostly here. I focused on research. And there we got really different results because there were a lot of people who said, well, who cares? As long as your name is mentioned, you will always win. But you are probably, well, in my eyes, wiser, because there I still had to explain that maybe for some companies the results don't really matter. Yeah, it depends. So I think your answers were so wise because you referred to the identity of Marimekko and where it clashed with that identity. So you didn't give me any standard answers, but you really looked at how a company can utilize also their reactions and maybe even gain credibility by that. So it is a much more customized story, and it's not that simple. Because, for example, when I'm thinking Red Bull, and I'm thinking Raikkonen, and I'm also thinking, if you forgive me, Max Verstappen. maybe for Red Bull it doesn't matter so much if there is a crash within how many meters was it? Yesterday it was... Yeah, but I think Red Bull has an image of being adventurous. And we all know a little bit that sometimes there are awful incidents when they make videos for it, for example. And any other brand would be have a lot of negative effects of that. Well, they also have it maybe to some extent, but a bit less because of, I think, the way in which they have positioned their identity. Because that crash indeed also got a lot of people watching to Formula One who didn't do that before and who then notice the brand Red Bull there. I'm still waiting for a winner. Well, either of the two guys will do well, more Max. Okay, let's go to the company behind the brand, because that topic has not been addressed, and implicitly it also has been addressed. So the company behind the brand, it relates to, the title of the slide already tells it all. The company that is actually behind the brand doesn't need to be the same brand name as company name. So in the case of, for example, toothpaste or washing powder, the brand name doesn't immediately get a connection with the company behind the brand. But there is a trend in many industries, especially industries where credibility is very important, for example, banking, but also services, where this connection is really tight. And actually, whenever there is a crisis, there is immediately this connection with, for example, Procter & Gamble, or a Unilever, so anyhow it gets mentioned. Once there is a reputation crisis, it's not the brand anymore, it's usually about the company behind the brand. So very closely related, and of course also customers of more business-to-business consumers, they also want to know how a product is made. So what was the environmental impact of the product, for example? So what can we tell our customers when we buy that ingredient for our, or when we buy that product as a business-to-business organization? So the company behind the brand. So what are then indicators for image problems? And maybe that also could lead you indirectly to some ideas for companies or organizations, non-profit organizations you can study indeed also. So there are some facts that already make a company more prone to image problems and reputation problems alike. So when you think of the kind of product or services, the production process. So for example, when we think of chemical companies, pharmaceutical companies, you immediately get this connection. Hey, there the process itself could already be related. So it's a potential hazard. The policy then we have, financial, HRM, social, environmental policies. And then, of course, we have studied that case at length, the Volkswagen case. I can't think of anything else at the moment when I think of this. So the policy to decide that it's so important to get a major part of this American market for your diesel cars, that by calling them clean diesels, you want to enter into that market. And of course, the CO2 emissions are quite good, but it's the NO2 emissions that cause the problem. And now we know that it's the whole industry, basically. And but it's very strange to see that consumers in Europe cannot get personal compensations, whereas in the States that is happening. But here it's they have to pay fines to authorities, but, well, of course, that helps in our tax load, you could say indirectly. But it's kind of strange that when you buy a car, I also bought a Skoda car, I have a Yeti. I bought it here in Finland and drove it now to the Netherlands, so I'm flying home. But that also has that engine. And when I bought it, I was already thinking, what shall I do? But I was comparing the facts and figures. And I had some doubts, but I was comparing them really well. And I thought, I can buy this diesel. And now, what to do with it? It has been made anyhow. Does it help that in the States there are now kilometers of cars just waiting, what shall we do with them? Because consumers could give them back to the company, sell them back to the company, which is not possible here. It's very hard to sell my car now. I will lose about 5,000 euros on that one car if I want to sell it now because of this whole matter. So that relates to policy. So policy can relate, or HRM policy, for example, can relate to image problems. Some companies have got to do with that. Some companies actually produce or are in such a competitive market that they, for example, produce clothes anywhere around the globe. And they, of course, get into trouble there because if it's price competition thereafter, there are some retributions or some problems. Child labor, for example, labor circumstances. So that's this category. And then we have the position. So sometimes it is the most dominant brand in the market that takes the biggest hit. So there you can also see that McDonald's works a bit like a magnet to criticism. And especially because it also is a country symbol, and that could also make it collect more criticism than other fast food companies. Which is, of course, what makes it very interesting to us. Because basically, when you want to learn something and when you want to have a career in a topic, it's okay if there are problems, because you'd like to do some problem solving. And that's so in that sense, it's just very interesting. Hey, why are we... Oh, you're all seeing the next slide already. Interesting. So, the identity somehow. Yeah, first the identity. I was confused by the next slide. So what is corporate identity then? Because I need to contrast the concept of corporate reputation or image with identity. Because I define the corporate image and the corporate identity as perceptions of stakeholder groups. Perceptions. Yeah? So what is the identity then? So because I need to compare it to something. Otherwise, I don't know if I have a gap. And there's more kinds of gaps, but this is the main gap that is interesting for us here. So I defined corporate identity as, a bit roughly said, the real thing. It's not how all authors define it, but if you mix up these concepts, you can't make clear gap analyses anymore. So you need to define it very strictly. So the corporate identity is the total of essential characteristics and how the organization manifests itself. So its behavior also on the financial market, for example. So that all belongs to its identity. So it goes far beyond the house style. It's not just how people, if you ask a question in that organization, will they walk with you to bring you where you're going? Or are they saying, well, it's second turn left, third turn right. That tells you something about the real identity in an organization. That's house style. The way we do things here in this organization, that's really part of identity. It's not the same as desired identity. So I do not define it that way. But desired identity is how the corporation's management defines where it wants to go. And it's very important that you make a difference between those, because otherwise in your groups you will have Babylonic differences. So that makes it possible to talk about a gap analysis in this sense. I will make it myself a little bit easier for this by going over here. So, different gaps there are. You can bring the image of the organization. You can try to bring that closer to the identity. So what you're doing then is you're using talk, communication, to tell people what the organization really is. Because in many cases, people don't have a complete picture of the organization. They might not know the organization. They might have a very wrong assumption about the organization based on one person they once met. And it's really not what your organization is in reality about. So that is bringing the image the image closer to the identity. It's another kind of communication job. If you want to help the management to bring the real identity closer to the desired identity. So then you're helping the organization improve its ways. And, of course, an image is something multi-characteristic, multi-featured. Because it's not just one feature. It's not just if you're environmentally friendly. It's not just if you are for everybody, talking about your answers for Marimekko, or that you want to be for some kind of elite group. That was a very nice remark that I heard a moment ago. So all these different... So an identity... and an image, but the identity definitely consists of many different features. And of course you can look at the website to see how does this company position itself. And then you might see the desired identity reflected. So that's why actually we say it's very difficult to tell what it really is, because there could be a gap in between that also, that they say that they want to go there, but they're not yet there completely. Or maybe they don't even try. That's also possible. So the problem actually is that there used to be a lot of organizations that simply said, I want this image, but I actually want to move it directly to the desired identity. So, for example, that would mean if you are... I've done a lot of work for the health sector, the whole health sector in the Netherlands, and they needed personnel. Well, that's the same in Finland. So they thought, what are the features of our healthcare sector? Well, if you work here, you can get great training opportunities and you can get very good childcare. So they started to communicate that they had very good childcare and very good training opportunities. Well, it wasn't everywhere the case. So they got in employees that almost immediately left because, or they looked at it and they had a talk and then they already found out, no, these facilities are really bad, so I'd better go somewhere else. So, and still, this sector has a lot of problems in attracting personnel. And it has a lot to do with the image of that sector. So if you talk to prospect employees, you will hear that there are a lot... now I'm doing something which makes it not stop, but continue. That's a good reminder, but this is, I think, a good moment to end before our break. So you have to take a really close look when you find an organization that you want to study and you will find image problems. You will also want to give some recommendations for that company. But before you can do that, you have to know, is this a gap between image and identity? Or is this a gap between identity and desired identity? Because your advice in the latter case will go to the management to help them with the change process or to advise them to work harder in this change process and to support your internal communications. Whereas a gap in this horizontal line means that communication can almost immediately start. It might need budget, but it's their own responsibility to implement. Okay, so now let's enjoy a break until 5:15, and that should leave you enough time to get something warm if you want to eat in restaurant Piato, but immediately go there and take whatever you like. I'll see you 5:15.